Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the next level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you do so and open your mind, you will hopefully come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You may or you may not agree with things that are said. If you keep that open mind, you will see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. And tonight, it's a special privilege and treat to have back Dr. Mary Lou McIntyre. She has become a regular on our program and attracts a lot of people who call in for help. And folks, if you haven't heard her before, you're in for a treat. But the way she works is she asks you to identify some fear, phobia, or block in your current life. And from that, then she can go to the Akashic Records, which are the records of your lifetimes, and pull out the lifetime where that trauma began. So it's very important to frame a question to her clearly. What is your block? So Dr. McIntyre is an author. She's a past life connector and fear buster. She helps those suffering from irrational fears to mend the past so they can overcome their fears and live happy, healthy, successful lives. Her three books are Fast Road to Happiness, Journey into Now, Life is Forever, Get Used to It, and The Forever Principles. Listening to an Angel Voice in My Head. That's the subtitle. These will assist you on the spiritual path and provide roadmaps to enjoy your life forever. Now, she does do extensive past life exploration. And if you want to learn more about her books or to talk to her about scheduling a reading, go to MaryLouMcIntyre.com. That's MarilouMcIntyre, McIntyre.com. And if you missed that, all you have to do is go back and play the podcast, and you will get that at the top of the hour. So let me introduce Mary Lou. Mary Lou, once again, how are you tonight?
Well, I'm just fine. Thank you for the lovely introduction, David. That was very nice of you.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, it's always a pleasure to work with you. And I recognize a phone number, so probably somebody else has been very delighted with what you've been able to help them with in the past. And we have several other people that are looking forward to talking to you. Did I put forward a good explanation of what you are looking for from the callers?
Yes, you certainly did, David, and I appreciate that because that's what I specialize in, is reading the Akashic Records, but I have to know a reason why, you know, and I can't just out of curiosity, you know, how many times have I been queen or something like that, you know,
right.
I don't do that.
Right. And just to further clarify for people, don't ask for a past life regression. Okay. What you're going to be asking for is help with a current life problem. So that's how you frame your direct your concern to Dr. McIntyre, and that will help form the question that will take her to the Akashic Records for the lifetime that is in question. So is there anything that you would like to say about your books? I understand you've gotten a literary agent and that the goal is to bring your marvelous books out with a traditional large publisher.
Yes, that's very true. I am just so thrilled that this particular lady was guided to me. She heard, I believe, from you, David, about my books and my abilities, and she contacted me. And so we're going to be working together to try to get these books, you know, in the hands of more people.
Great. Now, if people want your books, they can go to your website, right? Or they can
right.
go to Amazon.com.
Yes, I have both on Amazon, and I have ebooks too, if they're interested in that. And
okay.
So it's Amazon and Barnes and Noble also.
Okay, so everybody, go out and check out Mary Lou McIntyre. You can just put her name in, and it will bring up the names of the books if you don't remember those or if you haven't had a chance to write them down. So,
right.
Shall we go to calls?
Okay, and I would suggest if people are curious about my books, the Life is Forever book provides proof and evidence of survival after physical death. And the Fast Road book is like a how-to book to be able to tune to your own past lives. And that way, you know, get to know yourself and be able to reflect the divine essence that you're really created in. And then the Forever Principle was dictated to me by, are you ready for this? By an angel. I thought that was crazy myself, but it turned out to work very well. She was able to, send me the ideas, and I was like her physical typewriter, and it goes into the various principles on how to be happy, how to gain health, wealth, and happiness, and then some of her wonderful experiences over the centuries in helping to evolve the planet and humanity. So
that
there
sounds...
you are now. Go ahead.
I was just going to say it sounds wonderful. And the last book that you talked about I don't know if it was the last book, but the one book that you really pointed out is such a practical book for anybody who wants to be able to explore and do their own regression. And I think that sounds like a wonderful book for anybody who's interested in past lives.
Yes, that's the Fast Road to Happiness. And it also has documented regressions and past life readings that I have given to people that have generated physical or emotional or spiritual healing to them.
Wonderful. Well, shall we take a call?
I think that's a wonderful thing to do now, yes. Let's do
All
it.
All right. Well, first come, first serve. The first caller is Robin. How are you tonight, Robin? Robin,
hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
hello.
I can hear you. Hello.
Okay. You're on the show with Dr. McIntyre.
Hi. I got a fear of being trapped in a car, being in a car accident and never been in them.
Oh.
And I don't know.
Okay. Well, then that must cause you to be very hesitant in driving a car or riding a car,
I don't drive. I've never had no interest in driving.
Uh-huh.
Because of being scared of being in the car accident.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Fill yourself with light now. What was your name again?
Robin.
Robin. All righty. Let me get my guides working here. See, we establish a connection through the vibration, you know, your words and my words. That's how they can make a connection so I can get into your Akashic records. And, I see you driving down the street in London, England. It was the lifetime just before your present lifetime. Do you feel any kind of a link or affinity with London, you know, with England?
A little bit.
Uh-huh.
I love
well,
the Christian dips, I tell you that.
What?
How they do their fish and chips.
Oh, well, that's not driving. So, all right, let's carry on. You're on your way to work. You are a woman, and and you prepare the picture that go with the various ads of, product.
Dr. McIntyre, you're breaking up. Let me just ask Robin, is she breaking up for you too?
Yes, I can't hear nothing.
What I'm going to suggest...
You haven't heard anything?
I'm just hearing
no, well, she heard the first part. Yeah,
oh,
it's not coming through on recording either. What I would suggest we do is, would you like me to try calling you back, Dr. McIntyre?
All right, why don't you do that? You have my phone number, don't you?
I do have it. And in the meantime, Robin, I'm going to... Yeah. Go ahead. Just a minute.
No, I'm just wondering if you have the number that starts with 623.
I do have that. I'm not going to repeat it on the air, but I have it. And Robin, what I was going to ask you is if you would just for the next 30 seconds tell the audience what you hope to get from this reading, okay? And that way there won't be dead air. So hold on, everybody. And Robin, can you do that for me?
Yep.
Thank you so much. Okay, Dr. McIntyre, I'm going to be calling you now.
Okay, super. Thank you, David.
You're welcome.
I'm hoping to get rid of that fear of getting into a car accident where maybe I actually can start driving. I mean, it's awful hard walking around
yes,
to get
I'm
from
here.
Place to place.
Okay.
Thanks.
Hello?
Hello?
Robin, we're back. Yep, we're back. Dr. McIntyre is here. And for everybody that's just tuning in, we have Dr. Mary Lou McIntyre with us tonight, who had started a reading for somebody who had a fear of cars, and she placed her in a lifetime just before her present lifetime in England. And that's about as far as we got, Dr. McIntyre.
Right. Okay. Are you with me, Robin?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay. You're sure welcome. Anyhow, you are this advertising executive and artist, so to speak, and you're a little bit late in getting to work, and it's the streets are crowded, and the cars back in those days were not as efficient as they are today, but you had a very, it was a good car, and you were a good driver. But you were in a hurry, and what happened was you kind of jumped one of the signal lights, and there was a pedestrian crossing in front of you, or, you know, in the crosswalk, so to speak, and you were so intent on, you know, getting to work that you didn't see. It would have had to have been, like, out of the corner of your eye, but by the time you saw her, you were practically on.
Practically what?
To avoid her. What?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. You kind of blinked out a second there. Now I can hear you again.
That was my fault.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's today's problem. So anyhow, you did miss the pedestrian, but you ran into, it was like a steel or some kind of metal light post, and there was somebody walking, and, you know, like up onto the street, and you hit a pedestrian walking right by that pole, and it was you were going at a pretty good clip, even though you had just started, you know, but you were going like 25, 30 miles an hour. You really had gunned the motor, and it crushed the car, the front of the car just crushed in on you and clipped the pedestrian, who was not killed but was very seriously injured. But you were killed. The steering wheel just went. Oh, my gosh.
It pinned me in, right?
Practically.
It pinned me in the car.
Yes, it practically went right through you. And
yep,
that's
my
why
fear.
You have
I've always
that
had
fear.
The dream. Yep, that I get my legs get pinned in and there's nothing I can do.
Exactly, because the front part of your car was crushed. So that's verification for you that your dreams, which are revealed, you know, through your subconscious, was trying to help you release that fear. And now that you know it has nothing to do with this lifetime, but the previous lifetime, and you have carried that fear because it became locked into your subconscious. And so, of course, you don't want to get anywhere near a car. But knowing that it had nothing to do with here and now, you know, with today's lifetime, you should be able to release that, Robin.
That's how I
Hello?
How can I do that? How can I do that? How do I release that fear?
By realizing it has nothing to do with this lifetime. That
I
it
just
got to
keep putting
over.
That in my head.
Exactly. Exactly. And I don't want you to hop in a car and start driving, but, become a passenger at least.
I can ride in cars. I can ride in cars, but I always have my seat back far enough from the dashboard because I'm afraid of my legs getting trapped. I always say a front-end collision can trap my legs, and I don't want that.
Well, of course not. And you're going to be a careful driver because you're not going to be speeding to work, are you?
No. Thank you so much.
Well, you are certainly welcome. You be sure to keep in touch and let me know how you're able to overcome that, because you should be able to.
Thank you, Robin. I understand. Is there another caller in your house that wanted to speak with Dr.
Talk.
Okay. And then we'll move on to the next one. There's another woman here by the name of Amber that wants to talk to you, Dr. McIntyre.
All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Hi, Amber.
Hello. I don't know if
you have to speak up, please.
I don't know if you'd be able to help me with my fear is I can't trust. I'm not able to love because I can't trust.
Okay, you can't trust what?
I can't trust people.
Can you come on, talk so that they can link us together, hon?
I'm
okay,
not
so
able
you
to
don't
trust
people?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a bad problem.
And is
with
there
trust.
Any reason in this lifetime that has given you this fear of people? Because that's basically what it is.
No.
Okay.
I've just never been able to trust anyone.
Well, poor thing. That's really... Now, do you trust yourself? Do you think you're an honorable, likable type person?
I can be.
Well, are you or aren't you? You have to love yourself before you can love anyone else, you know.
I am.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, so luckily it hasn't gotten into, you know, your id or your own personality that, you know, this dislike or fear of people. But, I see you as an Indian, a Northwest Indian, like you were up by the Canadian border. You were a man. You were the son of the chief of the tribe, as a matter of fact. And you were very well liked, very good looking, and you were about maybe 19, as I see you, and very athletic and, like I say, very well liked. And when you were 19, your father, who was chief of the tribe, had a major accident. He fell over a cliff while he was out on a hunting expedition or trip. And you, as was the tradition of the tribe, became the chief. And you were very young. And, your father was young, too, as a matter of fact. He was only in his early 40s. But they hadn't really trained you, you know, on how to be a chief and how to help people and that type of thing. You were a very, you know, carefree, happy young lad. And so you had to take over all this responsibility for seeing that everybody got fed and clothed and, you know, the hunting trips were organized. And then when they came back with their what they killed and all of that, that it was prepared properly and everybody got food. Do you understand that so far?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Are you feeling any of that?
Kind of, yes.
Yes? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. This was quite some time ago. This wasn't just, you know, a lifetime just before this. This was early, early America. And so you had to take over this tribe because that was the tradition. And of course the people, you know, felt that you were like divinely created for this position. Otherwise you wouldn't have been his son, right? So you had no choice. You had to take it over. And some of the elders in the tribe realized that you didn't know what you were doing and that you were pretty much scared out of your skin in taking over such responsibility. So they offered to help. There were three of them in particular they hadn't necessarily been your friends because they were older than you. They were more connected with your father and his age group. And so when they offered to help, you were just so relieved because you just felt you couldn't handle it all by yourself. But they were treacherous, and they knew that they could never get into the chief's position because that was not the tradition, but they did whatever they could to accumulate wealth, and they developed some really crude, like, discipline. They started creating discipline in the tribe rather than everybody living peaceful and in harmony. They said, they told you, they convinced you that the people had to be reined in, they had to be told what to do, and so they, in effect, did take the power away from you. They were never, like, sanctioned as a chief or assistant or anything like that, but they just completely used you and usurped your position of power. And those three people, they were men, and you have met them in this lifetime because they owed you karma. Boy, did they owe you karma, because they created all kinds of problems for you personally, and the tribe ended up, they ended up fighting each other. And it was just a disgrace. And that, my dear, is why you don't trust anybody, because you were so maligned and misused by these three people. And it wasn't in this lifetime. You carried that mistrust because that was when you finally realized what these guys were doing to you, you ran away is what you did, because you became in fear of your life. And so you ran away and hid, and that's when the whole tribe just fell apart came under the heel of these three really evil people. And that's what's locked in as you, and you literally, you starved to death because you were afraid to go out and go hunting or do anything. And you found this cave, and you just crawled into that cave and passed away within just a matter of weeks because you had no water or food. And you realized how you had been misused. And so as you passed out of your body, you know, your soul passed out of the body, you said that you realized that you were dying because you had trusted people that were not trustworthy, and therefore you would never trust another person if you ever had another lifetime.
Wow.
And that's what was locked in your subconscious and carried forward in your subconscious. So what you have to realize now, Amber, is that not all people are like that. Some are, of course. They still are. You can see by the condition of the world. But most people are not. And you have to give people, a chance. You have to try to develop friends and be aware of what they're doing and what they're saying. And, you know, don't just be naive and trust everybody. That's foolish for anybody, you know, regardless of their past lives or anything. And so that's what you have to do for yourself. You just have to realize that that was back then, and you were naive, and you were taken advantage of, but you're not going to let that happen again in this lifetime. You're going to be alert, aware, and discerning. Okay?
Yes, thank you.
And Amber, we have to end on that note. Thank you very much for calling, and thank you to Robin, too. And
okay,
now we're going to move on. Yes, you too. We're going to move on to area code 917, and we are waiting for that line to become live. Hello, you're on the air with David Clark and Mary Lou McIntyre. Who is this, please?
Hello, my name is Ellen, and thank you so much for taking my call, David.
You're welcome, Ellen. How can we help you tonight?
Dr. McIntyre, I seem to have a lifelong pattern of not forming deep relationships. I have friends, I have acquaintances, but I seem to fall short on the ability to form deep, lasting relationships.
Are you talking about love relationships or friendship or both?
Both. And actually, even within my family,
mm-hmm.
too.
You feel alienated from other family members, like the black sheep of the family or something?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, fill yourself with light while I find your book of life. You know, when I first heard about a book of life, I thought, oh, how silly. Where would they be kept? You know, they're mm-hmm. not floating around in the sky. But actually, they are. They're just in a different dimension, and so we can't see that. But I have guides that are helping me to focus in on the etheric library, so to speak. And you have been, you're a very old soul. What was your name again?
It's Ellen.
Ellen, right. You've been called Ellen in several lifetimes. That must be like your brand or something. For some reason, Ellen is a very strong vibrational name for you. And you have been a spiritual leader in many different cultures. And are you a teacher in this lifetime?
No, I'm not.
Okay, well, you have been a teacher in many lifetimes, if not a spiritual. In other words, you were always working with people, helping them on their spiritual quest or their quest for knowledge and, you know, fulfillment of their curiosity and imagination and all of that. And you do find, in your present lifetime, they're telling me that you find it difficult to make close friendships because you find it difficult to find people that are of interest to you or like on the same level of consciousness. Do you find that is true?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, So, you know, don't, well, no, let me put it in a positive way. Realize that the more spiritually developed a person becomes, the more alone one becomes because there aren't that many spiritually oriented people or intellectual people that are really interested in knowledge. But, and so these many, and they're not going to go into them because you've had so many of them. But you have run into this problem in almost every, there are 12. There were 12 of your past lives where you were either in a position of spiritual leadership or teaching of, scientific things. You were a chemist in one lifetime, a scientist in another. And this is what you have to learn about in this lifetime, that you must seek your own level, you know, of intelligence and happiness, and realize that not all people are at the same level, and you just have to love them anyhow, and satisfy your own curiosity and your own interests, and just try to realize that the higher on the mountain you get, the lonelier you get, because not that many people can climb that high. Does that help you, Ellen?
I think it's a very interesting reading, and at least it doesn't make me feel bad about myself anymore. So I want to say thank you for that.
Well, right. And you just have to, overcome this sense of loneliness and just realize, you know, that people, will like to help you and like to be your friend, and they don't have to be on the same level. That would certainly be more stimulating for you, but you're usually in a position of stimulating others, don't you see? I don't know what position you hold in this lifetime, but you have an opportunity in this lifetime to really achieve great spirituality and extend your life, your lifetime on this planet if you can find peace and happiness. That's your quest in this lifetime, to realize peace and happiness within yourself, because you've gone many, many lifetimes with not feeling that at all because of the pressure and the stress of trying to teach people, some of whom were not teachable. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And I want to say thank you so much, Dr. McIntyre. What a wonderful reading.
Thank you.
Well,
we appreciate.
Thank you. I'm really honored to have been able to do that for you, because you're, it's just, I want to say you're like on the last rung of having to come to this planet.
You know, that's good news. I don't want to do it.
It certainly is. God bless you, hon.
God bless, Ellen.
Thank
Take
you.
Care. Okay,
you
have
bye.
A good night. Our next caller is Beth, and I'm bringing her live on the air. Beth,
you're
live on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi. My name is Beth, like I said, and I have this problem with rejection. I've had rejection from my father in my childhood. I've had rejection from my husband in my marriage. And I feel rejected very easily by other people.
And how do you feel about yourself, Beth? Do you think it's justified that you're rejected?
No, I don't.
Right. Well, that's good. Okay, but you can't, blame everybody. I wanted to establish that within yourself, you feel confident that you're a good person and that you deserve to be appreciated, right?
Well, I've been working on that lately.
Oh, just lately? Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, I've been severely
okay,
abused.
Okay, well, let me see. Pardon?
I said I've been severely abused in my life.
Physically abused or sexually or both?
Both.
Both, uh-huh. Okay. Oh, all right. I see you in a royal position in a country that was called Siam. I think it's called Hungary now. I'm not sure. I'm not a historian, but Siam no longer exists. It was cut into pieces as a result of world wars. But anyhow, you were of the royal family. You were the only daughter and the only child, as a matter of fact, of the reigning couple. And you were just precious. You had long, blonde, curly hair and big blue eyes and a ready smile, and you were just very, very happy. And, well, you know, why not? You had the best of everything, and there wasn't anything that you couldn't have that you wanted. And, of course, you wanted everything. And, of course, there were very few people or very few other children for you to play with. And so you were surrounded mostly by adults and adored and spoiled and, you know, all of that that goes with it. And as you grew into, what do they call it, puberty, grew through your teens, your family started looking for someone for you to marry because it was time for you to marry and carry on the royal family. And, you didn't want to be bothered with that. You liked being the center of interest and being able to have whatever you wanted whenever you wanted it. And so you rejected these suitors that they would present to you that were, there were some knights and some princes of other areas, and it would have been nice if you had married one of them, and that would have expanded your family power by incorporating domain also. But you wouldn't have anything to do with it. You rejected them all rather cruelly. You weren't nice about it. And your family just kind of overlooked it. They thought, oh, well, we'll just find the right person for her. And the problem is they never did. And, there was never anyone that you would accept and, settle down with. And just wait a minute here now. So these people that you're meeting in this lifetime are people that you rejected in that lifetime. Some of them, the two men that you pointed out, they were two of them that you did cruelly reject, and you actually chased them off of the, at different times. Literally chased them off the premises and told them to never come, back into the palace or the area. You just ejected them from your country. And they, of course, were, completely humiliated. And so they're coming back in this lifetime. to pay you back. You've heard the expression, what goes around comes around, haven't you?
Yes, I've heard
that. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Well, you're experiencing
that.
That's what, pardon?
I have heard that,
what?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, do you know anything about karma?
Yes.
Well, that's what you're experiencing to the nth degree. But you have to get, you know, you have to, as they say, take your licks to get it out, you know, to cleanse it, to get it out of your soul vibration and your human experience. And so that's what's happened. And in this lifetime, you're having to, you know, experience those karmic things. But I'm being told to pass on to you to be sure in this lifetime to be kind, considerate, and helpful. And that will create a stronger vibration within and around you, so that you will no longer be attracting these people that might be, you know, intent on paying back karma. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the only way you're going to be able to find any peace and happiness in this lifetime, is by generating peace and happiness for other people.
Thank you very much.
That's
Dr.
I wish I had some happier experiences to share with you, but that is that's what your mission is in this lifetime. Okay?
Thank you very much.
You are sure welcome. God bless you.
And thank you for calling in, Beth. We appreciate it. And now we're going to move on to area code 701.
David?
Yes.
Just a minute. Can we take a short break and talk about something else? Because,
absolutely. No problem. Yep, that's fine. What would you like to talk about?
Oh, well, I've been doing all the talking.
Okay.
And, but it's, you know, when you're talking, especially when you have to give a message like I just did, it takes me a little while to kind of, you know, get that out of my system so it doesn't affect me in the future. But
I've got a great idea.
Okay.
Talked about karma. We've talked about how what goes around comes around.
Yeah.
And that we need to change our vibrations in this life to overcome karma from other lives. I have a beautiful song called Throw It All Away by a New Thought musician by the name of Jennifer Farron, and I think it would be a very appropriate time to play this and give you a break, because it really talks about getting rid of all the garbage. Would that be all right with you?
That would be just wonderful, and then everybody that is listening in can benefit from it too.
Absolutely. So this is Throw It All Away by Jennifer Farron.
Trauma that can come from holding
experiencing and throw it all away. Just remember, if it's no good for you, let it go. So with that said, I'd like to welcome back Dr. Mary Lou McIntyre, who's been doing some really thorough readings. We do have five more callers on the line. I'm not sure if we'll be able to get to everybody, but we'll do our best. And what I'm going to suggest, Dr. McIntyre, because I have been remiss in this, is that I will time the remaining readings so they won't go over 5 minutes.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, David.
You are welcome. So the next caller is from area code 919, and you are live on the air. What can we help you with, and what's your name?
Hi, this is Terry.
Hi, Terry.
I would like to know why I am blocked with relationships. I have been alone for a while, and I seem to be kind of okay with that and thinking that I deserve that, and I'd just like to know where that comes from.
Well, where what comes from? The being alone and how you're enjoying it?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm enjoying it. I'm just used to it, and somehow I feel like that's just how I'm supposed to be.
Well, so what's your question? I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Yeah, my question is, why do I feel like that's okay, and why do I feel like that I deserve that on some level, or I don't deserve a relationship?
Oh, is that the key? You feel you don't deserve a relationship, which is different from what you've been saying.
I guess I do feel like I deserve it.
You've been saying you deserve being alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm deducing. She was earlier saying that she wondered why she was blocked from having relationships because there was this part of her that felt like she didn't deserve any better. And that bothered her.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay. Well, let me I see my guide is here going. Oh, he's scratching his head, too. He's trying to figure out the best lifetime to help. You know, just let me say this before we get into this, Terry. About that song. You know, I've been giving regressions and past life readings for, pretty close to 30 years now, and I wrote a book about it, and I'm still doing it. But interestingly enough, what I have come to realize, even though the understanding of past lives is probably the missing link to truly helping people that are not content. And I just want to say it isn't really necessary to know what caused a problem to know that you have to fix it. You know, like if there's a hurricane and your roof is ripped off, you don't have to know what caused the hurricane to realize you have to fix the roof. Well, and it's the same within, you know, our daily lives. We don't necessarily have to know why, well, for instance, why we're afraid of a car, driving a car. All we have to do is realize, if you can, and this is the test, that you can be a careful, good driver, and you're going to drive, and you're going to drive carefully. And then that just releases the fear of driving. But that's something you have to do yourself. So I just wanted to get that out on the waves so that anybody that has irrational behavior or depression or anything that is not fulfilling and rewarding, realize it's up to you to make the change. And if a past life reading helps, well, then, you know, that's what I'm here for. But it isn't absolutely necessary, which sounds strange coming from a person who thrives on helping people through past lives. So now, Teresa, let me go to your issue. It's in Peru, the mountains of Peru, and I see you as, you'd be called, today you'd be called a hermit, because you live pretty much by yourself, by your choice. Elderly person. You have a long white beard. You're male, and you're very thin. You have gorgeous brown eyes that they just look like they see everything that exists on the planet. And consciously, you probably did in that lifetime. You were what I would call a wise man, not a hermit. But you did live alone, and you lived on berries and fruit, and you even discovered which green leaves you could eat, and you know, just to keep you going. And you were really quite happy, because you didn't have to put up with, you know, all these crazy humans that don't know what the heck they want or who the heck they are. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, I follow you.
Okay. So that's the first lifetime they want you to see, that you were very content being alone. It was caused kind of, you know, with being, well, disrespectful of other people. Now... Well, they're taking me to England. It's kind of like one of the back streets, and the alleys are really narrow, and there's like always water running down these alleys. And you have a bake shop in one of these alleys. Or that, you know, opens up. It looks like an alley, but there's, you know, there's stores and stuff along it. And you were a woman, very happy. You could tell that you ate a lot of your own baked goods, and you were very loving, and the kids just loved you because you always gave them a cookie when they came in. And they always brought their parents with them, of course, and they are the ones that bought the pies and the cakes and that type of thing. So, you know, you were very good with people and very successful in your job. I mean, the bakery, you know, wasn't a huge concern, and you weren't, you know, shipping donuts all over the place or anything like that. But you were very happy, and you were very happily married. And your husband really wasn't into baked goods at all, but he thought it was so cute that you liked to bake. In other words, you were very, very happy together. And, he passed. Then you were still rather young. Well, he was, in his early 50s. And he contracted something that attacked his immune system, and he just wasted away. And, of course, you had to take care of him and watch that whole process as he just wasted away. And you thought at the time that you were, you know, taking care of him that... that it was so hard for you who loved him, but to take care of him and do all the things involved in taking care of a sick person that can't take care of themselves. And you really almost resented it, having to do that. And why why did he let this happen? Why didn't he take care of it? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which was like a contradiction of, you know, the love affair that did exist between the two of you. So it was rather, and it even became confusing to you. You weren't, well, you just weren't happy in that situation. You thought it would be a lot better if you were by yourself. And so, see, that was creeping in to... well, probably from a past life, too, and from that lifetime, and that's why you were shown both of them. So it's a like a duality thing, Teresa. You have to accept the situation you're in. If you can't accept it, reach out for something better. But don't... try not, well, they're saying try not to reject people. I don't know if you have a problem with that, but where people, you know, don't feel that they can reach out to you or be close to you for some reason. It's kind of like you're protecting yourself from being hurt. Is that true?
I would say that's accurate.
That is, okay, well, that's why.
Yeah.
Those two lifetimes, and you can see the duality involved. You had this deep love for your husband, and then when he got sick, you were back almost, you know, to the hermit thing, not wanting to even be bothered with other people. And so you just have to determine that, you know, there are all different kinds of people. Reach out for the kind, you know, imagine in your mind and visualize the kind of person or people that you want to be surrounded with. And if you find somebody that you want to spend a lot of time with, spend time, but don't, you know, don't feel that you have to spend time with people, but... look for people that are interested in the same thing that you are, and that will help you find a balance and get rid of this duality love hate thing. Okay.
And that's good advice for everybody. And
yeah.
With that said, we need to move on. Terry, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Have a
God bless you.
You too.
Let me just ask how your energy is holding up, Dr. McIntyre.
Oh, I'm okay now.
Okay, we're going to move on to area code 916, and I'm trying to bring them live. We are...
Hello?
Okay, area code 916. Hi, what is your name, please?
Yeah, my name's Nancy, and thank you for taking my call. Hello? Yeah, my question is... I'm a retired mental health nurse, and my problem is I have so much social anxiety when I get involved in big groups of people, and I really would like to be of service now, but I noticed that I'm very interested. I'm taking Reiki classes now. I'm very interested in alternative health, and if you see anything or why I'm that way.
Why or what way?
Okay, so anxious when I'm around groups of people. I have a hard time speaking. I'm very self-conscious.
And you would like to get over that? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, I would love to. I'd like to be more effective.
Okay. Tell me your name again.
Nancy.
Nancy. Can you speak up, Nancy? I can barely hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Well, not very well, but, well, so we'll just, you know, talk directly in, to the phone, because if, I feel, you know, that you're kind of slipping away, not literally, but figuratively, the vibration, see? So, all right, let's see. I see you. Oh, let's see, you're a German university professor. This is, a couple of hundred years ago. This was a long time ago. You taught humanity in Germany. You tried to teach people how to live effectively and how to help other people and how to stimulate kindness and growth and health and that type of thing. And you had a lot of science that verified the things that you were teaching, you know, how a person can be happy, how they can help other people, you know, that type of thing. Does that ring at all to you?
It does in a way, yes.
Yeah. Okay. You had a wife. She was kind of spindly, like weak and frail, and just not much, not very good company, especially for a dynamic person that you were. And you felt really bad that you could not help her, you know, find health, wealth, and happiness, because that was your profession. And that was, you know, that's what you were doing on the planet. And but she just, you married her because of, it was like she was your second cousin, because she didn't have any other family, and somebody had to take care of her and see that she was okay because she couldn't handle herself very well. And you were the kind of person that said, oh, okay, I'll take care of her. And so you married her. And so that was the marriage in that lifetime. And you didn't resent her or anything. You just thought it was because you had enough stimulation. Well, you were satisfied with the stimulation you got from teaching and the response and the benefit that you could see from your efforts in the classroom, you know, from the students. So she was just kind of a thing to have to relate to when you went home after school, kind of thing. Let me see here. So that has affected your ability to want to reach out personally, you know, to establish a personal relationship, which you may feel is missing in this lifetime. Your ability to speak to others was phenomenal. The students loved you. The faculty loved you. And they didn't even hardly know anything about your own, you know, your private personal thing. But I think what has happened over time, there was obviously some kind of resentment that you just held in, you just locked it in, and you have kept it with you through the, you've had a couple of lifetimes since then, and it's been very difficult for you to open up personally. I know this doesn't really sound like what you're asking about, but what they want you to do is focus on your ability to speak to others, to teach others, to care for others, because you do have that ability. But there's something, you know, in your personal makeup that makes it difficult for you to open up to crowds of people. Realize that you're helping crowds of people, and they go home to their own lives, and then you go home to your life. So you make your life, you know, filled with health, wealth, and happiness by being very positive and, you know, just working very hard at it. I don't know what else to tell you. That's kind of, you can do it. That's what the, you
okay.
can do it.
It's helpful. Yeah.
Right, Nancy.
I mean,
thanks
really,
for calling in tonight.
Okay. Well, thank you very
okay,
much.
God
okay,
God bless.
Okay.
You're
God
welcome.
God bless you, hon. Bye.
Okay, next we're moving on to area code 701. You're live on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
What's your name, please?
My name is Nora.
Hello, Nora.
So
what's your question?
Oh, okay. So I've been doing tarot and intuitive, and I learned I can do mediumship readings in the past year and a half. I'm 25. And
what kind of readings?
I started with tarot, and then I started doing intuitive, and I learned that I can do mediumship readings, and I'm taking a class on that this weekend, or a workshop. But what my question is sometimes I get like kind of anxious and nervous, like when I'm doing a reading, and I also, sometimes I think I block out, like, my ability to get money from doing readings, and I don't think that people
getting money,
really...
Did you say?
And I don't think that people, like, I feel like it's really subconscious, but, like, I feel like it's because, like, I don't want to be wrong, and I don't want to... Like, I don't expect or believe that people will really want or use my help.
They wouldn't come to you if they didn't want your help, would they?
Hello? I guess not.
I mean, that's the first thing to get rid of. But I'll tell you what happened almost immediately when you started talking, Nora. You've heard of Salem, haven't you? And the witch deal at Salem. Well, you were one of those witches, my dear. And that's why you have this kind of wavering fear relating to the psychic and to the reading, because you were definitely one of the leading psychics in the area, and one that even other psychics were jealous of. And so you were one of the first to be taken care of as a witch.
Okay.
And I don't know if you have nightmares about it or anything like that, but that happened. And it's not going to happen in this lifetime. I think the days of witch burning is over. We still have a lot of problems as it relates to, you know, human relationships and that. But you're never going to get burned at the stake again. Do you realize that?
Okay.
Hello?
Yes.
Are you there?
Yeah. I was
well,
just
do you realize
yeah.
that?
Okay. Well, I mean, I was just thinking about that the other day, like, because it does make me, like, sometimes I look at society and I'm like, you know, I could see it, like, I don't know, because, yeah, I don't know.
Well, that didn't make sense. I'm sorry,
yeah.
I just couldn't connect to what you were saying. But, okay, so anyhow, let me finish this. And the issue about asking money for your services is something that that I feel we were not ordained with, but the concept was imposed upon us that money is the root of all evil. And actually, the truth is, it's the misuse of money that is the root of all evil. And you have the right, since you are performing a service for people, you have the right to consider energy for energy. What you give out should be compensated for. And so that's something that you're going to have to work with consciously, that there's nothing wrong with asking for a donation or a gift for your services. If you were painting houses, you would expect to get money, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're a medium or you're giving a tarot reading or a healing, there's no reason why you shouldn't be compensated, because that's your time and energy, your life force, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, she said yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So is that going to help you feel better, you think, now you know what to work on and what to release? And it will help establish better, more confidence in your ability to give good readings?
Yeah. Yes.
Good.
Well, thank you so much, Nora, for calling in. And with that said, we're going to move on to our last caller of the evening.
Oh.
And that is area code 831. 831, you're live on the air. Who are we speaking with, please?
Yeah, hi. This is Karen. Hi, David and Dr.
Hi, Karen.
McIntyre. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Hi. Thank you. With my siblings, I have a lot of fear of being around them or having any association with them, and they've just wreaked a lot of havoc in my life. And I understand it's karmic, and I'm wondering if you can tell me what I might have done to provoke what I'm getting, or when or how it might end, or what can solve it. S-A-L-V-E or S-O-L-V-E.
When you talk about siblings, what do you mean? You mean members of your family or your own children or who? What?
My two sisters and one brother.
I see. Well, so this is, you're another person that feels like a black sheep in the family. And I'm going to tell you something about families. That they are the hardest people to live with, because we usually have the most karma with them, and we, want to get it released, because we have to in order to ultimately realize our own perfection, because we are created in perfection, I wish I could say that another way, but we are created in the image of God. And ultimately, we have to reflect that perfection, the God perfection within us. And so we work very hard. We come to this university on this planet to learn how to love one another and how to love ourselves and love God and serve humanity. And so if you're having a problem, you know, you're one of, I don't know, 1,000 million others that have, you know, family karma. Without knowing specifically what the details are, I can tell you they're showing me that you have had past lives with each one of them and with your parents. It's almost like you started on this planet together and have had lifetime after lifetime together, and you're trying to and I don't know if the others realize it because I'm not, you know, I'm not into their book of life, but you are realizing that there's some serious problems there between all of you. And so what you want to focus on is just working on the inner planes with them. Try not to have confrontational things. Send them lots of love. Send them forgiveness. Try to create humor between you. And realize that you have to learn to get along together. That's bottom line. You have to learn. You have to forgive each other. And if you don't, you're going to keep coming back the same circle of people until eventually you can. Now, if they can't get along with you and accept your the energy and the love and the light that you're sending them, that's their problem. Do you understand that? That's their problem. You are doing the right thing by sending forgiveness and love and, you know, prosperity to them. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Hello?
Yes, I do
you
understand
you
what
handle?
You're saying. Yes,
uh-huh,
I understand.
Good. Okay. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Does
so
it
I'll
seem possible to be able to do?
Well, I have been sending them love and forgiveness. I've finally turned the corner recently and have been sending them love and forgiveness, but we are completely estranged. We don't speak at all and I haven't for many years. So there's nothing to be confrontational about. It all has to be on the inner plane because we have no contact at all.
Uh-huh.
In the physical world,
well,
none. And haven't for many years now.
Yeah. Well, perhaps that's the best way to handle it. But within your heart, you see, it's you feel the sadness that there is no communication. But, you know, anything outside of yourself, you cannot control necessarily. If you continue to send love and, you know, happy thoughts to them, maybe that will turn them around and maybe they will contact you. If they don't, oh well, that's, you know, they're going to have to work out that resentment or that blockage for themselves because you're not creating it. You're trying to heal it.
I don't really want them to contact me. I'm the one who severed the relationship because I couldn't put up with it anymore, but I'm trying to turn the corner you know, on a spiritual and inner plane and you know, release it that way.
And
they're
keep
a menace
up the good
in my
work.
Life.
Just
I
keep
don't,
doing
I don't
it.
Want them in my life because they're a menace in my life, and I cut them out of my life for a reason. They're a menace. They create
okay,
menacing
right,
situations
right.
for me. Yeah. So
Okay.
Are there any lifetimes or anything in particular that I did to them that are really hallmarks here that I need to see?
I'm getting no, except there were many, many lifetimes, and there was pettiness, there was anger, There was, you see the way you were in this lifetime, multiply that by 12. That's the number of lifetimes that you have been together with your family. And you have, in other lifetimes, tried to heal the situation, and you ended up in great danger. And that's why you don't want to have anything to do with them in this lifetime, and that's your survival. But you don't want to, you know, you want to end up being able to say and really feel in your heart, those poor things, they still don't know how to behave. They still don't know how to give, how to share, how to love. Feel compassion for them. Okay? And that's all you have to do for your own, you know, spiritual healing and continued growth. Okay?
Okay. Well,
thank you, Karen. Appreciate
thank you.
The call. Okay. Have a good night. Well, that wraps up another show, Dr. McIntyre. How are you feeling?
Well, I'm really wired, you know, to be this long with my own spirit guides and everything. I really feel wired.
Well, you've done a wonderful
job. I'm so glad to have this opportunity.
Well, thank you so much. I always appreciate you being here, and you put a lot of heart and soul into what you do. So God bless you.
Oh, thank you, David. And the same to you for all that you do.
Thank you. Thank you. So now, once again, we come to a close. Let's pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who are having a spiritual experience.
I love that.
And remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
Absolutely. Amen.
All right. Have a good night, everybody.
God bless you all. Thanks, David.
Bye.
Bye.